I'm of the Third Crusade, been hugely esteemed in the Western world too, where he's seen as the epitome of chivalric virtue. Not bad for the man who took Christendom's most important site on behalf of his own faith. Indeed, is there any other man in history so well regarded by his defeated opponents? Heroes act as unifiers. Their construction and evocation is usually a response to the questions and concerns of a particular time. And of course, all heroes have their flaws airbrushed out. Thus, Saladin, the dynastic usurper, is rarely highlighted, nor are moments of harshness or conflict with his co-religionists. Saladin was a man who blended ambition, piety, and diplomatic skill. Saladin's chosen achievements and personal characteristics have proven extraordinarily attractive, flexible, and durable. And this great figure of the medieval age continues to be invoked and admired down the centuries.
The essay was presented by Jonathan Phillips and produced by Mohini Patel. And there's more from the series here on Radio 3 on Wednesday evening at the earlier time of 9:45.
This summer, dip into the BBC Proms.
Every prom live here on BBC Radio 3.
Sir John Eliot Gardner returns to the BBC Proms with Monteverdi's groundbreaking opera in which the legendary musician Orpheus braves the horrors of Hades to rescue his beloved Eurydice. Monteverdi's Orfeo, Christian Adam and Mariana Flores with the Monteverdi Choir and the English Baroque Soloists conducted by John Eliot Gardner. Live from the Royal Albert Hall in London tomorrow evening at 7:30 here on BBC Radio 3.
BBC Proms. Every concert, live on BBC Radio 3.
And get the iPlayer radio app to listen to the Proms offline, wherever and whenever you want.
For 30 days.
Howard Shelley, the pianist there, in Rachmaninoff's transcription of Rimsky-Korsakov's The Flight of the Bumblebee. It's a little after 11 o'clock. You're listening to BBC Radio 3, 90 to 93 FM on digital radio and online. And it's time now for Jazz on 3, the best in contemporary jazz, with Jez Nelson.
Hello, this is what the first ever release on Blue Note Records sounds like. Pianists Albert Ammons and Mead Lux Lewis going for it back in 1939. Fast forward 75 years and Blue Note is still going strong, and so are its piano players. Two of the biggest names in modern keyboard jazz, Jason Moran and Robert Glasper, in a two-piano concert celebrating 75 years of Blue Note, paying homage to the history of the music and bringing us fully up to date. Music hailed by one critic as the highlight from last year's London Jazz Festival, coming up in around about half an hour's time. Before that, I'll be talking to Jason and Robert, finding out what music keeps them sane while they travel the globe as I dig around in their MP3 players. Some good music to reveal, especially if you're a fan of gospel vocalists. I wanted to start the programme tonight, though, with a track from an album I've been desperate to share with you ever since I got my hands on it a few weeks back. It's the new ECM release from another fine modern piano player, Vijay Iyer. Now, Vijay's trio with the bass player Stefan Crump and drummer Marcus Gilmore is now more than a decade old, and it seems to me that they've reached a new kind of creative peak with this album, which is called Break Stuff, and you can kind of feel the myriad of influences you'd expect from a trio of 30-somethings, jazz, rock, funk, electronica, and the result is really something very uplifting and often very moving. And I've gone for a tune that I first heard when we featured this trio live on Jazz on 3 a few years back. No surprise that mathematician Vijay Iyer is enthralled to the rhythmic precision of minimal techno, and this is his tribute to the Detroit producer and DJ Robert Hood. It's just called Hood. Thank you. superb. The album of the year so far for me on ECM Records. It's called Break Stuff. That was a piece called Hood from the Vijay Iyer Trio. You're listening to Jazz on 3. Coming up at the end of the show, we'll be paying a visit to a new monthly night that celebrates classic jazz albums, playing the original recording in full before a band recreates it live. Now, the number of classic albums recorded on the Blue Note label runs into the hundreds, of course. And at last year's London Jazz Festival, the label celebrated its 75th anniversary with a special concert. We brought you one set from a modern all-star Blue Note lineup last year, and good as that was, actually this set was the highlight of the night for me. Jason Moran and Robert Glasper, two of the leading lights of 21st century piano jazz, who we featured several times on this programme before, but never on the same stage. Both of them are from Houston, Texas. Jason, a little older than Robert, and both draw on sources outside of jazz as a way of reinventing and pushing the music forward. Jason has a strong interest in the visual arts and has produced everything from suites inspired by the quilt makers of Alabama to scores for ballet and actually the new film Selma. Robert Glasper is as much part of the hip-hop and R&B and new soul world as he is jazz these days, working with the likes of Bilal and Q-Tip and gathering a huge following beyond jazz, as well as retaining his fan base within it. Well, we'll hear them performing together in around about 15 minutes' time, but I met up with them backstage the day before the gig to talk about their relationship and to have a listen to the music they carry around in their pockets. Welcome to London, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, good to be here.
We're going to kind of have a bit of an experiment with you because we do this thing called an MP3 shuffle where we just get together with guys who love music and they play whatever comes up on their iPod and we talk about it, and it's totally random. We'll give you one free choice at the end. We haven't done this with two people before, and I'm interested about you guys. I mean, obviously, you're always talking about music, so do you kind of send each other music? Do you share music? Do you say, listen, you got to hear this?
Well, yeah, like last night we were talking and he was like, oh, man, you should see this clip of Herbie Hancock playing with Joe Beam, playing Wave.
Yeah.
And so I woke up this morning and was like, oh, yeah, I remember he said that.
Did you check it out?
Yeah, I did. And Herbie is like playing on like a core keyboard at first, but then he just picks up his music and he goes to sit at the piano with Joe Beam and takes this beautiful solo.
Oh, right hand. Oh, man. Yeah.
At the top of the piano was Joe Beam, like four hands.
Okay, well, let's get into it then. We're going to take one at a time from you on shuffle from your MP3. Robert, let's start with you.
This is my band at the Blue Note, live at the Blue Note Jazz Club in New York. My experiment band featuring Lupe Fiasco.
I remember hearing, like, when first Black Radio came out and calling Rob being like, yo, I'm glad somebody's making some good hip hop.
Oh, that's right. Exactly. Exactly.
There's so much bad hip hop out here. And
right.
You had made a place for Mos and Lupe to, you know, have a great landscape to walk their lyrics on, you know?
Right.
So, like, when there were things happening when he would be at the Blue Note, it was a sensation because people would hear about, like, oh, you know, like, Lupe Fiasco, Kanye West, and right. Mos Def was on stage at the Blue Note last night. You know, like, that kind of energy excited the city, you know, that at jazz club, a famous jazz club in New York, that this kind of thing was going down. It's not so frequent, but this is what's happening right now.
I think a lot of the kind of people who are following you from the jazz side were checking, okay, right, now we've got to listen to these guys and take them seriously. Is it coming the other way as well? Is the hip-hop people maybe kind of getting into the jazz side of things?
Yeah, totally. It's definitely a two-way street because we make sure it's a very... When you come to our show, you're going to get your share of jazz, you know, your share of solos and understanding what a solo is and burning out, that kind of thing. At the same time, you're going to get your share of groove stuff. And, you know, so everybody's happy and everybody's learning at the same time without it feeling like you're learning.
I think I'm right in saying you're about to record another acoustic record, right?
Yeah, I'm actually going to record a trio record. I just wanted to get back to playing the piano for a minute.
Because he's a good piano player.
Huh?
Because he's a good piano player.
I'm realizing how much I need to shed by playing with this dude.
Yeah.
Like, oh, Jesus.
That'll make you want to go back into the studio.
It definitely makes you want to go back and shed. So I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to go back and do another project with Experiment.
Right.
And...
Okay. Right, so we're going to move over to you, Jason. Thanks for that, Robert.
The This is Gregory Porter singing The Way You Want to Live.
When one, and just why is one, standing on rocks of compromised cliffs, trying to find your drift, peace against your will. That's the way you want to live. Big one, and yet small one, flying through smoke and lying on the mud, trying to find your thrill, peace against your will. That's the way you want to live.
He's like a real welcome addition to the scene. I was tired of singers whispering on the microphone.
Exactly.
And he stands there and he delivers songs with his full voice, his full being, you know.
And honest.
Yeah.
And not pretentious. And I'm going to sing jazz. I'm going to sing it like this jazz singer.
Yeah.
No, he's not trying to be throwback.
Yeah.
That's the problem with most singers. They're always trying to emulate singers that came before them. And they lose their own identity. They never have an identity. So therefore, our time will have no identity. You know, Greg embodies the history. Mm-hmm. And he embodies other genres in music. Yeah. You hear him.
Exactly.
You hear, I hear Donny Hathaway. Yeah, I hear Luther.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, it's like, he's like in this in-between space, which was so necessary.
Standing on rocks of compromise, just trying to find your thrill. Peace against your will.
Okay, that's fantastic. So far, so good. We'll go back to you now, Robert.
Why do I feel so alone? Like everybody passes.
This is Drake. This was his free album before he got put onto mainstream. This is like the demo that made him famous.
So they stick around kicking out feedback, and I entertain it as if I need that. I had a talk with my uncle and he agreed that my privacy about the only thing I need back. But
I suppose what's interesting is all of the selections so far, and in fact some of the stuff you were shuffling in the warm-up, vocalists.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, important to you both to spend a lot of time listening to the human voice.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I grew up listening to human voice. My mother was a singer, you know what I mean? So I love singers when they're good.
my wife is a classical singer. I mean, we were talking about it, and Rob does it when he performs too, is you hear him kind of singing the melodies he hears and as he plays them. And there's a thing I always, sometimes even on fast songs, I try to, I'm like, oh, like how would Mary J. Blige sing this? I actually think about that, like,
right.
You know, like, yeah, how would Mary J. Blige do this little phrase?
Yeah.
But yeah, vocalists are important.
And you both obviously work with your most recent project features vocals, yeah, as well, a tribute to Fats Waller. So again, it just seems like you're kind of in this new era, the fact that all that can just cross over, and that, yeah, people shouldn't be afraid of the fact that on an album or a gig you're going to have something which is deep jazz, but and then the next thing will have a very, very soulful feeling.
Exactly. Totally. I always say, like, we have so much more music to be influenced by than our predecessors, you know, than Train did or than Monk did. So unless we're walking around with our hands over our ears, our stuff is supposed to sound different and be mixed up. That's what it's supposed to be. Train did My Favorite Things because of Broadway and musicals, because that was popping back then. So that was their way of mixing it up. We have 500 more genres of music, you know, to be influenced by. So it should sound different.
Okay, well, let's have one more. We'll have one more random selection, and then we'll give you a free choice.
Oh, wow.
Okay, one all. Come one on. Of yours, Jason.
So this is there's a song, there's three pieces I made called Feedback Part 1, 2, and 3 for the Monterey Jazz Festival. And this is Feedback Part 2, but these little bits of feedback are taken from Jimi Hendrix's performance at Monterey Pop Festival. Like, he's like at that point when you make noise music, Like, he did that so convincingly in a way that, like, blues players would use, like, glass slides on the strings. Like, the noise becomes like, oh, that's part of the expression. Hendrix is as important as John Lewis or, you know, from the pianist from Modern Jazz Quartet or anybody else, you know.
Okay, let's give you one free choice each. So maybe go for something that you're really into at the moment, something you've been listening to, or something you just really love, whatever you want to go for.
I pulled up. Let's see. So this is fife and drum music. This is played by Otha Turner, and the Rising Star Fife and Drum Band. This is like old music from black folks in America. And Otha Turner's old cat playing the fife, but he teaches all these young kids how to play the drum part, you know, these snare rolls. And I'm always just thinking about like how to find the simple way that is like profound, you know, like how can you make the simplest gesture? And like, this is just a flute and a drum. And they recorded it outside, you know, in his backyard with just people around.
This is a modern recording?
Yeah. Right. This is from, I don't know, maybe less than 10 years ago.
Amazing. And you can hear it's like Roland Kirk. Sounds like.
Yeah, exactly. In America, it's unfortunate how history has evolved over there, but especially for African Americans, it's generally like the roots of where things come from, we kind of are shady about, sonically, historically, culturally. But music has been a place where we were able to kind of clearly see the strain from generation to generation, you know? And that's definitely kept me to want to make music that will continue to show, I don't know, our evolution as a people.
Thank you. Robert, your selection.
Now I want to change it because now...
He's up the game now. He's up the game.
Yeah. All right, well, good. I'm on my Houston thing. This is Kim Burrell, amazing gospel singer from Houston, from our hometown, that changed the gospel scene forever with this album. This came out in 95, maybe, 96. All our friends on instruments, Chris Davies on drums. She's literally, arguably, one of the greatest voices ever. Mm-hmm. Arguably, ever. Mm-hmm. If you ask any vocalist, the top five, more than likely she's in it. I'm in the process of producing an album with Chaka Khan. In our first studio session, I told her I was from Houston, you know. She was like, oh my God, I love Kim. Kim Burrell's my favorite singer. You know, she started singing all these Kim Burrell songs. This is Chaka Khan.
Since Jesus came in into my life. Oh, Well, guys, thank you very much for sharing some of the contents of your MP3 players. Just very briefly about the gig tomorrow night. I know people who saw you doing this, I think, in the States and came back raving about it. You do this thing before the sextet play. You do a duet thing. Right. So how does that work? Tell us about the kind of format of what you're going to do tomorrow night.
This is like that. We've known each other so long, yeah. Right? We've followed each other's music for so long. There's so much shared language between us. So when we get on stage, it's like, oh, okay, let's just start playing these songs.
Yeah, we kind of just go. And we'll just start playing something and we just fall into a song. He might hint at a certain song and we just fall into it. I may hint at a certain song or fall into it. Or hint at no song, just a sound. And we just go. So half of the stuff is made up. Most of the stuff is made up.
Are you drawing on the Blue Note catalog, though? Or is it kind of your music?
It's both.
It's both.
Yeah. Old Blue Note stuff to now.
Yeah, we start off with, we do generally start off with the very first Blue Note record, Albert Ammons and Me Lux Lewis. And we start with that Boogie Woogie stuff because that's how Blue Note started. And then from there,
it goes. It's like, all right, now we established where it came from.
Right.
Take it out.
We never would have thought when I met him and he met me in high school that we would be on Blue Note, right. Like representing the label in this way. But it's a real treasure.
Yeah, totally.
Piano players Jason Moran and Robert Glasper talking us through some of the music they're listening to at the moment. Let's listen to them now for the next hour or so, recorded at last year's London Jazz Festival on the stage of the Royal Festival Hall. If you're listening in stereo, then Robert Glasper is panned to the right and Jason Moran is panned to the left. Listen out for some prepared piano sections from Jason and Robert teasing some well-known Herbie Hancock themes. Thank you.
Mr. Jason. Hello, 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 hello. Can y'all hear me? Hello? Please give that for Mr. Jason Moran. J-Mo, thank y'all so much. Really appreciate it. Thank you. Right out.
Two of the modern stars of the Blue Note record label celebrating the great legacy of its catalogue, Robert Glasper and Jason Moran. And Robert's finishing off there with that theme from Everything in Its Right Place from Radiohead. Oh, didn't know that Radiohead were on Blue Note Records. We'll forgive him that because it's a great tune. You may also have recognised a couple of Herbie Hancock moments, Maiden Voyage and also Trust, which came from a later Herbie album, but sounds like a bit of a modern day classic. And by the way, that slight rattle you may have heard on Jason's piano was not a recording fault. He obviously stuck something in the piano early on, which either he left there or he damaged a string or something. Great concert, really enjoyed that at the Royal Festival Hall as part of last year's London Jazz Festival. Now, staying with the theme of revisiting classic music, news reached us recently of a new monthly night in Hackney, East London, called Played Twice. Each session, a band selects a classic album to interpret, but first, the original record is played in full as the audience sits in silence. Intriguing, why would you pay to go along and listen to a record? And would playing it first affect how the musicians interpret the material? Well, we sent jazz singer Juliet Kelly along to find out, and she started by talking to the event organiser, Amit Patel.
Lots of my brother and I's wider friendship circle were tired of us putting jazz records on when they wanted to listen to other more fun or accessible music. So we decided to set up a sort of jazz night where we would pick a date, pick an album and invite people to actually come and listen to it from start to finish. And we recognised that most of our friends and previously estranged people who were against it suddenly turned up and with a bit of ceremony actually very much enjoyed it.
So what do you think you're bringing to this sort of experience that's attracting people who may have been turned off to it before?
I suppose none of the jazz aesthetic, like posters, you look at them, it doesn't look like it's a typical jazz gig. I think part of it also was the importance we put on using high-end hi-fi equipment, So the best turntables and amplifiers we could. I used to be a bit either intimidated by it, or I could kind of get why most people are like, I don't like jazz, because if it's on in the background or if you're hearing the wrong bits of it, it does sound quite annoying. Or quite, you wonder what all the fuss is about.
How does the evening actually work?
Around 8 o'clock, we shut the shutters, lock the door, turn the fridges off, get the place dark, and we play like the record from start to finish, and we'll just sit there and listen to it. There's a break afterwards, and then the band play their interpretation of the music.
And so can you tell us what album is playing tonight?
Tonight it's Thelonious Monk's 5 by Monk by 5.
I don't actually know a lot about what's being played tonight. I kind of came blind. Someone recommended it.
Right.
It's a nice environment as well, and that makes a big difference. Just that kind of cosy, and I've heard the sound system's incredibly good too.
It's a kind of communal aspect to it, that you all sit together and you just do nothing but just listen to the record that they play, and the musicians kind of talk about why they chose that record and what was special about it, and give you a bit of a history, because I think jazz especially is one of those kind of genres of music that sometimes can feel a little bit inaccessible if you don't really know much about it, but this is a really nice way to kind of get to know it.
And what do you think it will be like sitting in a room, you know, in a bar like this, listening to an entire jazz album?
We'll see.
You haven't done this before, then.
No. You tell me what I have to do. I don't have to do.
Just enjoy.
Okay, great.
We kind of lights our phones off and no talking.
Monk 5 by 5.
Wow!
Wasn't that amazing?
Byron Wallen, trumpeter and leader of the band, the quintet. Listening to the album with the rest of the audience around you, did that actually change the way you heard it, the way you listened to it?
Completely. I think this is like a meditation, a group meditation, where everyone is focused on the music and nothing else. And music is often relegated to this background activity. So having this amount of people being quiet, not checking their phones, not eating in the dark, really focusing on the record is a spiritual experience. It's now about playing the music.
Wow, that was amazing. It was such a new and interesting experience to listen to an album in a group with a lot of people in the dark, and I loved it. But, you know, it would take a lot of persuading to get me to do something like this, because the idea of performing after, say, an Ella Fitzgerald record, after the audience have listened to her and her perfect rendition, is not really something I'd relish. But it's obviously popular, and at the end of the day, it's bringing a lot of people and new people in to listen to live jazz. And that's got to be a good thing.
A point well made by Juliet Kelly down at the Played Twice night at Brilliant Corners in Hackney. Perhaps there's a classic album that you'd like to hear reinterpreted by a modern band. If you forward your suggestions to me, we'll send them on to Played Twice. Email me jazzon3@bbc.co.uk, or you can tweet at @BBCJazzOn3. Thank you to my producer tonight, Chris Alcombe. Jazz on 3 is a Something Else production for BBC Radio 3. From me, Jez Nelson, a very good night.
I'm John Shea, and welcome again to Through the Night on BBC Radio 3. Recent recordings by the Swedish Radio Symphony Orchestra to start this morning, with Robin Ticciati conducting Faure and Debussy in an hour from now. Daniel Harding, the orchestra's music director, is on the podium first, and to complete the British invasion, it's Paul Lewis at the piano. He's mostly been occupied recently with a 3-year Schubert cycle, and it's only a couple of years ago that he added Brahms Concerto No. 1 in D minor to his repertoire. It's impossible not to love that piece, but it feels daunting, Paul says. The first time I heard the orchestra play those first notes, well, it was a thrill.